I want to begin today just by letting you know that I'm going to be challenging you to ask God two questions. For you just to go to God and simply ask Him two things. But I need to warn you before I give you these questions, and I need to warn you before you go to God and begin to ask Him these questions, that both of these questions are radically dangerous things to ask God. They're dangerous because they require some radical changes both in your thinking and in your living. And if you ask God these questions with a sincere desire to know the answers and to obey the answers, then I guarantee you your life will never be the same again. So here are the two questions I want you to consider. Lord, what do you want me to be? Lord, what do you want me to be? Now, I'm not talking about your vocation, about, Lord, do you want me to be a doctor, a lawyer, a pastor, a missionary, or a Christian school teacher? That's a good question to be asking of God. But when I'm talking about, Lord, what you want me to be, Lord, what do you want my character to be like? What should be known of me in my nature and who I am in the inner man, in the inner person? Lord, what do you want me to be? And the second question, Lord, what do you want me to do? Again, not necessarily your vocation, but that's a good thing to be asking of God. But to be asking God this question, Lord, what is the next step of obedience you want me to take? When I leave this chapel service today, Lord, how do you want me to obey you? When I go to my next class, when I schedule my plans for this weekend, Lord, when I determine who I'm going to be hanging out with, what I'm going to be doing, Lord, what is the next step of obedience in my life? Now, these are two really radical questions. You say, that doesn't sound so radical. We hear that all the time. We're supposed to be asking God, what do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? And these are radical questions, not in the sense that they're outlandish or edgy or over the top, but they're radical for most of us in the sense that when we ask those kind of questions of God, our tendency is to come to God in a spirit of negotiation. Lord, I've come here to discuss with you today what you want me to be and what you want me to do. And Lord, I already have some ideas and thoughts, and unless you just hit me with a lightning bolt or a specific message written in the sky, Lord, here's my plans, what I'm going to be and what I'm going to do, unless you can divert me in some other direction. We want to negotiate with God in these two areas. This morning, I want to not try to answer the questions for you. What do you want me to be and do? That's a matter between you and the Lord. But rather, I want us to consider how you can be in the right mindset, how you can orient your life in such a way that you can hear from God on a weekly, daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis as He directs you into what He wants you to be and to what He wants you to do. For that, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 16. And verse 24. It's one of the most stunning and astonishing exchanges in all the Bible. Jesus informs His disciples how they can be and how they can do with one powerful statement that directs them towards three steps towards a radical righteousness. But before we can understand and apply this truth, you need to first answer two more questions. So I want to invite you to bow your head and close your eyes right now before the Lord and answer this question. Am I this morning going to believe Jesus? Am I going to obey Jesus? If you can't answer in the affirmative to these two questions, whether you're going to believe and obey Jesus, then I strongly encourage you to stop listening right now. In fact, I was going to suggest you get up and leave, but you may get in trouble with that. So I just suggest if you're not ready to believe and obey Jesus, just plug your ears, stop right now, Because to go any further will only frustrate you and anger you. What I want to challenge you to do right now, though, if you're willing to answer those questions, would to say something like this to Jesus. Lord Jesus, right now, I commit to believing you. And Jesus, I commit to obeying you. Jesus, you are Lord. And so right now, we confess to you, we believe you and your word. And we stand ready to obey as you show us how we can hear from you and how we can be what you want us to be and how we can do what you want us to do. Thank you now. Amen. Jesus said unto his disciples, Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, if any man will follow me, be right with me, be righteous before me, if any man would be this way, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. See, Jesus' plan for life was radical because Jesus' plan for living was dying. Jesus' plan for living was dying. As Jesus unveiled this plan to his disciples, it was not very well received. In fact, many of them thought he should go back to the drawing board and come up with another plan. As he preached, all the crowds heard it and they misunderstood it. The Pharisees, they just scorned it. The followers totally missed it. His closest friends sought to avoid it. And his closest disciple and follower, Peter, actually denied it. Because Jesus' plan for living was so radically counterculture, so contrary to conventional wisdom, it's so cut against the grain of society and culture, they couldn't accept it, they couldn't comprehend it, they couldn't understand it. No one had ever spoken like this before, no one had ever lived like this before, and no one was ever prepared to die like this before. And I suspect that when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey with all the palm branches waving and the great crowds cheering several weeks after he made this statement, the disciples undoubtedly hoped that Jesus had changed his plan. You know, that's the way you and I are. We're like those disciples. We hear these words, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And deep down, we really hope that that plan can be changed. We want it to be altered, amended, restructured. Now, don't get me wrong. We say that we love Jesus. We just don't like his plan. See, we're thankful that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sin and death and hell. I mean, who wouldn't be? We're very appreciative of the fact that he's given his Holy Spirit to live within us, to produce love and joy and peace and patience. And I mean, who wouldn't want those kind of things? But when it comes to really following Jesus, to being what he wants you to be and doing what he wants you to do, we shrink back and say, hold on a second there. I'm not too sure. Well, no, that can't be what Jesus really means. When we really mean, no, that's just too radical. We say, I can never do that. When in reality, what we're thinking is, I won't do that. See, when it comes to following Jesus, there are three categories of people, and I suggest that they're probably all three categories represented in this chapel service today. The first category, and I hope it's most of you, I hope most of you could say this of yourself, you would say that I am fully following Jesus. Absolute abandonment. Totally and passionately committed to Jesus. Whatever you want me to be, and whatever you want me to do, I am committed, I'm following. If that's true of you today, can I just let you know? You have the joy and the fullness of total fulfillment in walking in and following after Jesus Christ. There's another group here, though, and I'd suggest that just by experience, I don't know this to be true of anyone, but by experience, there are also some folks here, I'm sure, who are not following Jesus. You're committed to going your own way and being and doing what you want to be and do. And in your case, you're experiencing self-fulfillment. Now, it feels good for a while to walk in sin. There's pleasure in sin for a season. There is some sense of self-fulfillment and going your way for a while. But in the end, it's all vanity, meaningless, nothing. And then there's the third category that I think most of us live in this context. And that is those of us who are partially following Jesus. You know, negotiating with Him. Sitting on the fence. Abandonment, well, yeah, Monday through Friday's mine, but I'll give you the weekend, Lord. Negotiating with Him and lacking passion and fulfillment. You know, the most miserable person on the planet is the one who is seeking to partially follow Jesus. If you're totally abandoned to Him, you're going to have total fulfillment in life. If you are completely denying Him, there's at least going to be some self-fulfillment in life. It won't last. You won't like it at the end. But for those who are seeking to partially follow Jesus, it's a life full of frustration. It's a life being pulled and twisted and torn. One minute, I'm in the path following Christ, and the next minute, I'm back following my own way. Let's be clear. This morning, as we consider three steps to rightly follow Jesus, that you can't follow Jesus until all three of these are true. You can't go halfway. You can't negotiate. You can't sit on the fence. It's either all the way with Jesus or none of the way with Jesus. And our text this morning gives us three simple steps to going all the way and radically following Jesus. Step number one is deny. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny Himself. Deny Himself. Now you say, well, why did Jesus say that? Why didn't He have deny first? Why didn't He just say, follow me? It's because Jesus knows that we generally want what we want. It's our desire to go our way, and what we want for us is not best. In fact, it is inferior, and so Jesus says, deny your own way and go my way. Hey, Jesus had to do this. He denied Himself. Did you think He really wanted to be crucified and whipped and beaten and nailed to a cross, speared in the side and die? No, He didn't. In fact, He said, if there is any other way, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In the verses that precede verse 24, you remember the encounter with Peter and Jesus. Jesus began to explain to His disciples how He must go to Jerusalem and to suffer and to be persecuted and all these things that were going to happen to Him and the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and then He would be killed. And Peter began to rebuke Jesus and said, not so, Lord, far be it from Thee. This shall not be unto you. And Jesus turned and looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Have you ever wondered why Jesus reacted so violently to Peter's suggestion that maybe he didn't need to die? Is because Jesus saw this as a temptation not to deny Himself. To take the easy road, to take the path that the flesh wanted to take. Jesus knew that He had to deny Himself. So here's the question this morning. If you're seeking to fully follow Jesus, are you going your way or Jesus' way? So, well, how do I know that? Well, you know, one of my tendencies when I'm trying to figure out if I'm going my way or Jesus' way, I like to go to the red words in the Bible. You know, those red ones that they put in there and they represent Jesus' words. And so, you know, for those of you who maybe one of your classmates or roommates or maybe your mate, okay, insulted you this week, how did you respond? Your way or Jesus' way? Well, Jesus said, whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to the other to him also. You were insulted this week? Did you respond your way or Jesus' way? Or maybe someone really hurt you this week. In fact, they went after you. Not just an insult, but they really stuck it to you. The knife right in the back. And you're just feeling down and feeling extremely hurt. Did you respond your way or Jesus' way? Well, Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Your way or Jesus' way? Some of you are considering your career path, and you've got two possibilities. There's the what seems to be the way that is going to provide more income and a stable position and all these things. And then there looks like the hard way. And you're wondering, do I go my way or Jesus' way? And well, Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. See, the way we determine whether we're going our way or Jesus' way is just to look at some of those red words and say, Jesus, what is your way? What of myself must I be willing to deny in order to follow you? You say, Robert, I really want to deny self, but it's so hard. How can I, in this flesh, how can I, with this world system all around me, how can I do it? Well, there's only one way for you to deny, and it takes us to the second step. In radical, righteous following of Christ, you got to die. You've got to die. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now, we see crosses everywhere, and you know, cross of the Bible is not the nice, shiny, silver thing that you wear around your neck, or even the nice, nicely sanded things that we find in our churches that represent the crucifixion of Christ. The cross is not a pretty picture. It's a picture of blood and agony and gore and death and pain and suffering. It's not what the modern-day megachurch pastors tell you, you preach. It's not the way to start a great movement, but it's a way of following Jesus. We have to deny ourselves, and we have to die to ourselves in order to resist the temptation to promote ourselves. Now, when I talk about the cross of Christ and dying to self, most of the times in a sermon like this, I would just whip out some illustrations of those who've actually died for their faith. We could go back to Acts 7 and see the picture of Stephen and how he's martyred for his faith. Or maybe go back into church history and understand how 10 of the 11 early apostles all gave their life for Christ. Or go further into church history and look at some of the great martyrs during the early days, or more current, a guy like Jim Elliot, or I could even tell you stories about missionaries connected to our church who have literally given their life for Jesus Christ. But these illustrations of people dying for their faith, while they are profound and challenging, I find relatively unhelpful in our context. You see, the real question for you today is not, will you physically die by the hand of Muslim terrorists on the mission field? It's not, will you go to the mission field and have to give your life for Christ and starve to death or be eaten by crocodiles or have a gun pointed at you and say, deny Christ or die. The real question is not whether you will physically die for your faith by the hand of some Muslim terrorist on the mission field. The challenge for you and me today is, will you spiritually die by your own hand right here in the relative comfort and safety of Appalachian Bible College? The question is, are you willing, in the context of Jesus' warning that it's better to pluck out your eye than to look at pornography, are you willing to pluck out that eye, spiritually speaking, deny yourself and die in order to follow Jesus? The real question is, are you willing to have your hand chopped off? It's better to lose your hand, spiritually speaking, than to reach out and take something that does not belong to you. Are you spiritually willing to have your tongue cut out, spiritually speaking, rather than speak evil or gossip or talk about someone in a malicious, unkind, and harmful way? Will you spiritually die by your own hand in order to deny yourself? You see, Paul put it this way. The great apostle, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you want to follow Jesus, you got to die to self. Will you this morning nail to the cross anything in your life that smacks of self and self-will and self-way? It boils down to this question. Do you really believe Jesus? Do you trust God enough to go His way over your way? Now, I know what you're thinking. I've heard that before. That's very theological. That's religious mumbo jumbo. So let's get down to the core and let's get down to the third step. How do I know if I have denied self and died to self? How can I say with certainty that it's true that I have denied self, died to self, and I'm following Jesus? It's simply this. After you deny and after you die, you will always comply. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, do as I do. See, the question for us today is not, will you die for Jesus? The real question is, will you live for Jesus? Will you orient your thinking? Will you orient your attitudes, your actions, and who you are towards Jesus over yourself? Why do you think Peter reacted so violently when Jesus began to tell him in verses 21 and following that Jesus was going to have to go to Jerusalem and be beaten and mocked and suffer and die? Why do you think Peter reacted so violently to Jesus? Not so, Lord. I mean, he was correcting Jesus. Why do you think? It's very simple. Peter didn't want to die. Peter didn't want to deny. He wanted to follow Jesus. He answered that long ago. But he didn't want to deny himself, and he didn't want to die to himself. But listen to what happened to Peter after he denied himself, and he died to himself. It's 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. If you are going to comply, if you are going to follow Jesus, it must begin with denying yourself and dying to yourself. Now you say, all right, what does it mean to follow Jesus? We'll just go back to our two questions. Simply to ask this, Lord, what do you want me to be? What about my character? What about the inner person? What about the real inside that you and only you know about? Lord, what needs to be denied? What needs to die? And what kind of character do you want to form in me? Lord, what do you want me to do? What about my life, my lifestyle, my calendar, my schedule, my plans for the weekend that I have not told anyone else about yet? If we are going to follow Jesus, it begins with asking, what do you want me to be and what do you want me to do? Now let's go back to those three groups of followers of Christ that are here this morning. Let's first of all, let's talk about the ones who are not following Jesus at all. You've never repented. You've never believed the gospel. You may be doing the church thing. You may be obeying the rules. You may not be getting reprimands or demerits or whatever happens when you disobey the rules here. None of that may be happening, but you know deep down, you have never turned from sin. You have never trusted and believed Christ, and He is not the Lord and Master of your life. Your life, while it may have some sense of self-fulfillment now, will end empty. At the end, vanity of vanities, meaningless nothingness. If that's you, I challenge you to give your life to Christ today. To turn from your way, to believe Him and to trust Him and let Him come in and make you a brand new person that wants to follow Him. It's called being born again. The no followers. Let's look at the second category. Those who are partially following Jesus. Trying to negotiate with Him. Sitting on the fence. One minute seeking to follow Him, the next minute following my way. One minute influenced by the Spirit of Christ, the next minute influenced by my classmates. One minute going hard after Jesus, the next minute pursuing my passion and my dreams and my plan. You are the most frustrated person on planet Earth. There is no fulfillment if you're seeking to serve two masters. Let's go to the way Jesus wants it to be. And that is completely following Him. Lord, what do you want me to be? Or what do you want me to do? Those who are fully following Jesus, who have denied, died, and complied, will receive the fullness of all that God has for us. Look at verse 25, Matthew 16. For whosoever will save his life, negotiate with Jesus. Whoever will sit on the fence, whoever will save his life, shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. You know, for those who are sitting on the fence, and actually for those who are not even following him at all, we typically come to this commands, to this passage like this, one of the hard sayings of Scripture, some would say, to deny yourself, to die yourself, and to comply and follow Jesus. We typically come at this and say, you know, I'd like to, but I'm just afraid he's going to ruin my life. You know, if I just abandon all and agree to follow him, then he's going to choose a mate for me that's ugly, you know? Or he's going to send me to a spot on the mission field where Verizon doesn't even have coverage. Or when I ask him, what do you want me to be and do tomorrow? He's going to say, I want you to skip the video games and go down to the mall and witness. See, because somebody got this mindset that God wants us to deny and die and comply so he can make us miserable and ruin our lives. But it's actually absolutely the other way. He said, look, if you want to keep your life, if you want to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. In the end, there's no fulfillment. There's no joy. There's no passion. There's only frustration. But whoever will abandon his life and give it all up, he'll find life. He'll find fulfillment. He'll find joy. He'll find Jesus and His Spirit. You know, at this point in the message, I'm supposed to tell you a really emotional story to touch your heart to cause you to do that. You know, a missionary martyr who you know, the native had the bow and arrow drawn back and deny Christ, or it goes through your heart and he said, no, I won't deny, and the arrow went right through. Or I need to tell you about the missionary who went out, who abandoned all, who gave up the great career, and he went to unreached people group, and he ministered for 40 years and only had one convert, but after he died, a whole church was planted and the whole tribe came to Christ. Or maybe I just bring it a little closer to home. I'll just tell you a sad story about some orphans in the inner city who someone went to and rescued them out of their poverty. And those are all good things, by the way. I'm not making light of any of those. They're wonderful things, but I'm fresh out of those illustrations this morning. I just have one radical illustration. It's about a man named Jesus. He was a missionary martyr. He gave his life to reach an unreached people group like you in order to adopt you out of the family of sin and death and hell and Satan and bring you into the family of God. And when he called you to himself, he said, deny yourself, die to yourself, and follow me. Get off the fence and get on the cross. Can I suggest to you this morning, you'll find the greatest joy and fulfillment in your life when you deny, when you die, and you comply. Why? Because Jesus wants to bless you and fill you with a life that you'll never, ever regret that you chose. When you ask him these two questions, Lord, what do you want me to be? Lord, what do you want me to do? Let's bow together in prayer. And Father, we are so grateful and thankful for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who came not to make our lives miserable or hard or difficult, but to bring a life that's full of joy and abundance and fullness. So, Lord, we know that our lives are the things which mess it all up. And so Jesus says, deny yourself, die to yourself, and follow me. And that's our desire, our commitment today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.